This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it.
And sometimes we sleep in.
Yeah, just like you did.
Just like I did. So we are going to record here at noon, bright and early at noon. And thing is, I went out to a comedy show last night.
Okay.
The Mark Little show.
Okay, but how late was that show, really?
Not very late. It was at 7 o'clock. Here's the thing.
What the fuck is the excuse?
So we went out for food afterwards. I had a few sodas. And then I got home. I'm like, I should go to bed soon. And then I was like, okay, I'll go to bed soon. And then I went to bed at 2. And no, it was after 2 because I was recording at 2 because I thought of a line I wanted to add to the video I'm working on. So I recorded that line. And then I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. Mm. And then this morning I woke up and then I was like, oh, I'll sleep for a little longer. And then I slept way longer. And I've ruined Damien's day.
It's true, you did.
Yeah.
I mean, I was up late too because I couldn't sleep for a while either. Yeah. I mean, and so I still got up. So
yeah.
And I didn't go to a show. I worked, so.
Yeah. Saw Chris Locke, though.
Chris Rock. Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah. Evil Men is on this network, so you can check that out.
Oh, great show. Watch it. Listen. Mm-hmm. I guess listen. I guess you could watch a YouTube video with just a picture there.
Yeah. So today we'll do a little bit of an episode, and then we'll let Damien get off to his old work.
I don't work today.
Oh. Well, wherever you have to be. Yeah. We'll let you get
business.
Off there. Oh. Yeah. So, you know what, folks? It's a trying time, as they say, for everybody in the world. And I think one thing that really helps people, and people just love it, is when you
pray for them,
try to convert them to your religion. So,
That would really make my day easier if someone did that.
Yeah, and I think that really helps. I think
people
are going through a lot right now, and what really helps is there's just a really awkward conversation where you try to convince people to join your faith. Holy crap. My cat has decided to make so much noise. I don't know if you can hear that, but he's not just going in the litter box. He's making sure the lid is off as well.
I heard he shit so hard it made a splash in the litter.
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Because that's what I heard.
So I found some articles on ways you can witness to your friends.
Oh, God. Okay. Are you going to try to witness from, me?
Yeah, I guess I have to. I have to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And this one is
Mad Max Fury Road just a
what's that
based on the WikiHow for how to witness someone?
Yeah,
makes sense.
Step number one: how to share your faith with somebody. Number one, talk to the person about surface level subjects first. If you sit down next to a stranger and start talking to them about your soul, there's a chance they'll be alarmed enough to move away from you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Probably even if you just started talking to me about the weather and I don't know, I might find a way to move away.
I feel like that's just got to be a sign that if you're bringing this up to a stranger and they're alarmed, you probably shouldn't bring this up to a stranger at all.
Exactly. Similarly, if you approach a family member or a close friend and start talking about your faith without any lead-in, they might be somewhat put off. Instead, spend some time having a normal conversation with that person.
Okay, so it's saying you need to manipulate them in order to talk about the thing that you want to talk about.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So it seems... What's the opposite of honest?
Yeah, exactly. If you're talking to someone you don't know well, make normal small talk. Only robots need to be told to make normal small talk about subjects like their family, hobbies, or careers.
Can you imagine like being just like so obsessed with it that people are just trying to hang out and talk to you, and the whole time you're just thinking like, how can we talk about God? How can we talk about God? How can we talk about God? I just got to talk about God to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're spending that whole time just being nervous and awkward, and it's making the whole situation even worse.
Mm-hmm. And I get that the idea behind it is that you're helping them, but it's so fucking selfish.
Yeah, it is. It really
because you're
is.
Trying to make it all about you and what you're trying to do. And you may say, like, no, I'm trying to save their souls. Like, no, you're trying to stroke your little God dick and make them talk about the thing that you want to talk about because you think you need to do something.
Yeah, it assumes that you know the answer and they haven't even considered the right answer or they haven't even considered, like, hey, maybe I'll look into what I believe about the world. You just think that, like, oh, yeah, they probably need to hear it from me. I have all the answers. I'm just going to.
I'm 17 and I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's how the churches get you with those young missions trips, right?
Oh, yeah.
I get all the 100%. Get all the young people, they say, you got to go do it. And they're like, I'm young, I'm dumb, I know what's right.
Yeah. I'm young, I'm dumb, I'm full of cum. Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're spending time with someone you're already close to, try asking them about things you know are going on in their life or touch base with something you talked about the last time you saw them. Hey, okay. Damien, how are you? I hear you work in restaurant. How restaurant go?
Oh, Trevor, restaurant good. Good restaurant.
Do you know Jesus God? He's a good God. He's number one of all the gods.
Yeah, he's one of my regulars.
Oh, good.
Not tip good.
No. Some conversations might never go farther than this, and that's fine. However, continue to pray that God will help you look for signs that a person would be open to spiritual conversation and that he'll give you the courage to be a witness for him.
No, 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 no. Don't do that.
Don't do that? No.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Uh-oh. Number two, watch for clues that show the person may be looking for direction in their life. Jesus' message of hope, love, and forgiveness are extremely powerful, especially to someone who's struggling to find their place in life. You're talking to someone who seems to be deeply sad, anxious, or fearful. Even if they're cheerful on the surface, they might be open to hearing about God's word.
I don't care how sad, anxious, and fearful I am. If someone starts talking to me about God, I'm going to lose my fucking shit.
Yep.
I would it's be always so assumed. Mad.
Yeah. And it's not like there's not sad Christians.
Oh, yeah, totally. They're the saddest bunch of them all.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But
some of them are. But yeah, like I was standing waiting for the TTC once a while ago, and this young Mormon missionary comes up to me and starts talking, and he's like, what do you believe? And I'm like, no,
believe
no
you
I'm
should leave
atheist.
Me alone.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, is that because you're mad at God and you're upset at the world? I'm like, or something like that. I'm like, no, why do you know?
Mad at God? I don't believe in God. How can I be mad at something I don't believe in?
Yeah. For instance, you might hear a friend say something like, I just don't know what I'm going to do with my life. My career didn't work out like I thought, and my relationships have all been a disaster. The message that God has a plan for their life might give them hope.
Sounds like this is just a person who needs to kind of work on themselves a little bit. Yeah. I don't think God's going to help them.
No, he's really not. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is too, yeah, maybe this might work on some people because like the community of church can feel like, oh, maybe this is the fix I need.
Yeah.
But you're not going to like how it ends up.
I mean, it's kind of feeling like these are for people who have no real accountability for the things that happen in their lives, and they just want to pass the buck and not take any responsibility for anything that's happening to them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that's feeling like. Mm-hmm. Like if you're saying like, all my relationships end in a disaster and my career doesn't work. I'm like, well, if all your relationships are ending in disaster, you're either really shitty at relationships, really shitty at finding partners. And then, you know, yeah, careers can go either way, but like, you know, you got to do something about that.
Yeah, it sounds more like somebody just needs some therapy and needs to work on themselves than needs God. It's like that saying that if somebody's an asshole, if you meet somebody and they're an asshole, they might just be an asshole, but if everybody's an asshole, it might be you.
Yeah, yeah. If every day all you're seeing is assholes, maybe you're the asshole.
Yeah.
I just remembered too. Have you seen The Whale yet?
No, not yet.
There is a character in that who is a young missionary who's spends half the movie trying to convert Brendan Fraser.
Oh, okay.
Brendan Fraser.
It's Fraser Crane.
Right. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Maybe I hear the blues calling, toss salads and scrambled eggs.
They come on again.
Mercy.
You might also hear someone say, I feel worried all the time and I don't know why. In that case, that person might be open to God's message of hope and peace. Yeah, and it might be. It might also need some meds. That's okay.
I feel like if I was worried and nervous all the time, thinking about an omnipotent being constantly watching and still ruining the world would make me even more worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's an all-powerful being out there? Then why is the world fucked?
Yeah, exactly.
Why doesn't he do something?
Yeah.
Because we're not believing hard enough? What is he, fucking Tinkerbell? Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to Does he want us all to clap our hands in order to give him his powers? Like, fuck you. If you're really that almighty and powerful, don't you think he would be, you know, making the world a better place to live in? And then maybe incentivizing people to actually give a shit about his message?
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Am I wrong about this? I don't know. It just seems, it seems backwards.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, oh, he's going to fix my problems, but yeah, he can't.
It's one of those things where it's like those people who demand respect and loyalty, yet do nothing to actually earn it from you.
Yeah.
It's just automatic, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
I tweeted yesterday, like, back in my day, we respected our elders. Well, yeah, but you didn't respect anyone else, so here we are.
That's true. And all your elders died at 45 anyway, so.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. That's true, but.
Other conversations that might lead to a discussion of God could include comments about what happens after people die, feeling a lack of connection to the world around them, or even who created nature and mankind. Yeah, I think if they bring up, hey, I wonder who created the world. Yeah, they might be open to hear about God if they're already assuming that it was a being that created the world.
Do they not like just see how like insane it is to like just start talking to strangers about who created the universe?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Leave me alone. Who are you? I'm trying to drink my coffee.
I was wearing our own merch the one day and so it has the devil on it, and the street preacher was like, do you know him? I'm like, what? Do you know if you're going to meet him when you die? I'm like,
it's like, this is my podcast. I met me.
Yeah, I meet him every day. Oh, do you mean my co-host? Yeah, we're going for We're going for coffee later.
Yeah, where did we get pie?
Oh, hi. Be sensitive to the person's needs.
Doesn't sound like you're being sensitive if you're trying to shoehorn in a conversation.
No, it really
sounds like the opposite of sensitivity.
Yeah. Sometimes it can seem insensitive if you quote scripture as a blanket answer to someone's struggle. Yeah. Especially if they're opening up to you in a vulnerable and candid way. Trying to talk with the individual in a way that's personal and sympathetic, allowing them to feel God's love through you. That will be much more effective than saying the Bible says that God loves you.
Honestly, quoting scripture is like if someone tells you, is like, oh, my mom passed away. And then you're just like, well, my mom and my dad passed away. So you should feel better already.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Such bullshit. Such bullshit. So selfish. So obliviously selfish.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all like, yeah, it's why these people are so socially awkward too. It's because they don't actually know how to have a conversation. It always has to mean something and they have to have like a goal behind it.
I think that's the thing. Like, I know like a lot of it comes from a place where they think it's coming from a good place, but the problem is that it's so unself-aware and selfish.
Yeah,
that it just kind of ruins that. And it's like, listen, man, you need to like really kind of step back and take a look at what you're doing, because you're not being helpful. And it's very self-serving, whether you think it is or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're just trying to score God bucks for the God casino, right?
Exactly. And that's what it
is. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. It's about, I think God's going to give me extra points in heaven and I get bragging rights here. That I witnessed to this many people. I converted this many people. Yeah.
And then you can spend the tokens at the gift shop on the way out, right?
On the way out, yeah. And if you witness enough, you get a free hotel room in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Like and a buffet?
Free buffet and...
discount tickets to the shows?
Yeah, exactly.
Neil Diamond?
Huh. In the diamond, it's literally a diamond room.
Mm-hmm. Diamond in the Rough tour. Whoa.
Use your conversation as an opening to introduce the subject of your faith. Yeah, that's what the whole thing's about.
It's just saying the same thing over and over again now.
Yeah. As with any other type of conversation, the exact way you'll do this will depend on what you and the other person are talking about. Try to let the conversation develop organically and pray for guidance, wisdom, and sensitivity as you move forward. Just have a conversation with people. Like, don't have an agenda with a conversation.
I like how this is like a big long list of how to do it, but it's just saying the same thing over and over again. It's like, try to have a conversation. Think about a conversation. Start something that's a normal conversation and then try and get into a different conversation. I'm like,
Have you considered having a conversation?
This is just step one over and over again. It's a list of step ones.
The thing is, like, yeah, there are times when you're like, okay, I have to talk about this subject with my friend. We need to get this covered. I need to get this off my chest, or I need to address this issue. And yeah, there are times when you're like, you have to have that awkward, like, hey, can we talk about something? Mm-hmm. But you're not like trying to, oh yeah, that reminds me, like trying to fit it into conversations.
It's you're like, also you not just... having this conversation with fucking strangers.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not like, Doug's an alcoholic. I better go talk to him. He's like, who's Doug? I'm like, I don't know, that guy, I guess.
Some guy in the street. He looks like an alcoholic. He's wearing a t-shirt that says Doug's an alcoholic. In the case of the friend who's concerned about their career and failed dating attempts, you might say something like, I really believe that God has a plan for your life. It might not seem like it now, but he can do great things in your life if you trust him.
I feel like that's a good way to lose a friend.
Yep. And I feel like I have lost friends that way. It's like, hey, I don't want to hear about that anymore. I don't really care.
Yeah. It doesn't help me. It's not a comfort like you think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It just feels condescending.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, with me, with being single and, like, growing up in the church, like, people would always move it to, like, God has somebody for you. God has somebody picked out just for you. It's like, yeah, but you're assuming that I want that. Like, you're just assuming that, like, I want to be in a relationship because that's the normal thing.
I also think the idea of there's someone out there for you, that's the way it is, I think is a really kind of gross, toxic assumption as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't think the idea of, like, fate and, like, destined relationships is a very healthy way to view things. You're fetishizing the idea of being together with somebody, and it's not a good way to have a healthy relationship.
No, not at all. Because it's like, yeah, if you believe that you're destined to be this person, then you're not going to actually put the work in to make it work and find common ground, and because you just
and
think
then
that's fate. And
if they don't think that, or they're not in the same if they're not in it the same way as you are, then, you know, if things go south or they decide to leave, you're going to be much more fucked up than they are.
Yeah.
And you might
exactly
do some very toxic behavior because of that.
Yeah.
So,
and like,
it's just not a healthy way to live
your
life.
It's not. And it's a screwed up thing because it's like, because my dad, you know, married my mom and they were very much in love. And then my mom died and my dad met my stepmom and they were very much in love. And, so if they were both meant to be together, like, so that means that part of that rule was, okay, well, it's Letty's time now, so Jane has to die. Like, it's like, no, just sometimes shit happens. And
well, I mean, I guess the argument could be, well, the Lord knew that was going to happen, so they had to put someone else in your path.
Yeah,
but then again, back to the point, like you said, is it like, oh, well, this person's time is up. Got to kill him. Here's someone fresh. Sorry for the killing. Sorry, I killed your wife.
Remain respectful of the other person. Only a psychopath has to be told that.
If you really respected me, you wouldn't be bringing this shit up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know where I stand, or we don't know each other. So shut the fuck up. Stop if the person seems very uncomfortable or aggressive. Unfortunately, some people are predisposed to be closed off to God's message. They might have had hurtful encounters with religious people in the past, or they may simply have a negative view of the church. If you sense that the person is hostile towards your message, gently change the subject.
Or just leave.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the idea. It comes back like the whole thing. It's like if they are predisposed to be unreceptive to it. So you're basically saying like, oh, that's like when people say like, oh, well, you're just not open to the experience. So you don't believe it because of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same kind of bullshit. It's a no true Scotsman kind of thing.
It's
right?
True. Yeah, and that's like we experienced that with some of our friends who believe in supernatural stuff. It's like you don't have your mind open. It's like, no, I'm open to evidence. And yeah,
I say that all the time. I say if there was ever anything that actually could show these things to be true in any way, I would believe it.
Yeah.
The fact is that all the evidence for it now is so circumstantial and so nothing that I don't believe it.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Every story you hear is anecdotal evidence. It's either something that happened to somebody years ago or something that happened to somebody else that they told to them.
Yeah.
It's never properly corroborated. It's never replicable. It's never anything that leaves any lasting effect or any change. It's things that can be explained through other things very easily and much more believably, but because of the whole hold that supernatural phenomena have over people, they want to believe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they look at you like you're an asshole because, you know, you don't believe their fucking boogeyman stories.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't realize that, like, memories change over time. And the more you retell a story, the more details are added. And yeah.
But even if you don't, even if you remember it exactly as it happened, that doesn't mean it was supernatural.
Yeah, exactly.
There are so many other ways to think of, like, yes, I believe that you experienced this and you think that this is what it was, but I don't believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's another thing I emphasize a lot. It's just like, yes, I believe that you think you saw this thing that you think is a ghost, but I don't think that's a ghost. I don't think that's an angel. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's many other things, much more rational, and to do with just complexities of the mind, and not spiritual.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, I have a friend who, I have a family member that's been recently diagnosed with schizophrenia, and they're getting the help and everything they need. And, but I was thinking about, like, if that would have been my family, like, it would have taken way longer than needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
To realize it's schizophrenia and not demons or some sort of like outside force. And I'm just so glad that, like, they have the right people in their lives that are like, no, this is something we need to see doctors, not like, not an exorcist.
Well, that's funny, because I say that, because like Cody will make that argument a lot too, where it's just like, if I was possessed by a demon, you'd probably send me to a hospital. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to get you to a hospital rather than to try and get you exercise, because it's more likely you're mentally unwell than you're possessed by a demon.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he'll also give like the hypotheticals of like, oh, I bet even if you were in bed and your bed started levitating, what would you think then? It was like, well, it's not going to happen, so I don't think it would matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that, I'm terrible with those hypotheticals, because like, if it happened, I would probably think that my brain is fucking with me before anything, but it's not going to happen. So I don't have an opinion on it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think there's no like real like stories of that actually happening with any sort of evidence. It's all, like you said, anecdotal and
So don't come at me trying to have a casual conversation about the Lord because you think I'm sad.
Yeah. Okay. So, like you said, these are all the same thing, because the next step is share your faith in an authentic way. God's message of forgiveness is a beautiful story. He died violently.
For bringing this up again.
Yeah. Although a frank discussion of sin can be very uncomfortable, try to channel God's love for the person as you're talking to them, keeping the focus on the story of redemption and sacrifice. You might say something like, I believe that God sent his son Jesus to earth, and Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. I get a lot of peace from my relationship with God, and I'd love to share that with you. Then tell them more about Jesus' life and death based on your studying of the scripture.
Listen, okay, I don't mean to be like rude or anything, but why do these things always start with, did you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Like, yes, I fucking know Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's what every one of these things is about. That's what everyone leads with. You hear it a million fucking times in life and pop culture. That's just like, it's everywhere. If there's one thing I know about Jesus, is that he died for our sins. Yeah. I don't need to fucking hear it again. I know.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly. I don't care.
Like, it's one of the two stories you hear all the time. He was born in a barn and he died for our sins.
It's like if someone says, like, have you heard about Harry Potter? He was a wizard. I'm like, yeah, I fucking know. Yeah. What are you giving me that's new right now that I don't know? I don't care. If I wanted to know more,
come back too.
Yeah, he did. If I wanted to know more, I would read the books. And I'm saying the same thing for the Bible. Like, I know.
And ironically, both authors were transphobic.
That's true. And maybe you should try that next time someone says, have you heard about Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He died for our sins. And you go like, I know, asshole.
Yeah, I fucking know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
not my sins. I didn't ask him to do that.
Hashtag not my sins. What was that? Scroobius Pip has a line in one of their songs, Dan the Slack versus Scroobius Pip, that's like, maybe Jesus died for someone's sins, but I know he didn't die for mine, because I'll stand accountable for my own damn crimes each and every time. And
I also don't believe that a lot of the things they consider sins to be sins. So
no.
Well, I mean, I don't believe in sins, but, you know, the things that they consider bad, I don't necessarily consider bad.
Oh, same. And the thing is, too, like going through the Seven Deadly Sins series, too, is that what I'm realizing is that they just consider everything a sin. Like, yeah. It doesn't really matter. They just want control. So everything becomes a sin. And mm-hmm. It's like anything that could have any sort of harm in any kind of idea, any kind of way, is automatically a sin. And it's like this blanket statement. So,
yeah. And I don't know about you, Trev, but I've been thinking impure thoughts this whole time.
Yep. Same.
And you know what? I think it's pretty good.
Are they about Zoidberg?
Yeah. With huge gazungas.
Zoidberg with huge gazungas. Oh, every day, bro. To quote Jake Paul, it's every day, bro.
Yeah.
Here's a tip, though, it says on the bottom. If you're shy, having tracts and other reading materials can be a good way to help break the ice and keep the conversation moving. Just be sure whatever you choose is biblically sound.
I feel like that's just a way to get beat up.
Yep.
I'm not saying don't beat people up. That's stupid. No. But you know what I mean? I mean, like, if you're going around and you're handing out tracts and things like that, that makes everything seem premeditated, and it makes you look like a bigger dickhole.
Yeah, it does.
Because then it immediately shatters the illusion of spontaneity and sincerity.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Can you imagine doing that with any other type of conversation? I'm a little shy, so here's this thing about what the weather's like.
Yeah. Or like, hey, how you doing? I hope you're doing okay. Have you heard about my timeshare?
Yeah, exactly.
So are you trying to sell me a fucking timeshare? That's what this is?
So I get to own it with 15 other people.
I guess it is selling a timeshare.
In heaven. Oh, in heaven. Mm.
Deluxe probably condo costs a lot in more sky.
In the long run. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Wow. Here's a tip. Number eight, sorry. Offer to pray with the person if they'd like to accept Jesus as their savior.
No.
Damien, no, do you want to pray with me really quick?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
My thing is like, you have no authority here. You have no power here.
Yeah. Don't quote the dark magic at me. I was there when it was written.
I'm always just like why are you the authority on the Lord?
Yeah.
You don't know jack shit.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it was, and that's the thing too, like I was talking about like the one video or the one guy that I always use in these videos that I'm working on now, and I'm never going to use him again. I hate him so much, but he always brings up like, you know, skeptics say, skeptics say, and then he has a straw man version of what a skeptic is. And he also brings up, and this is secular studies, folks. This is, the world knows this is true. And it's like, yeah, but they always use quote unquote secular studies when it kind of works with what they already believe, but it's not like they change their views based on studies. It's
no, like, they're cherry picking the things that put them in a favorable light.
Yeah, exactly.
Things that aren't necessarily connected to what they're saying, but they're able to make a tenuous enough connection that they can say, like, see, this proves this. Where it's kind of saying, like, you know, correlation and causation kind of thing, right? When it's like no, they're not connected in any way. They don't, it doesn't prove or disprove anything. It's completely unrelated. It's apples to oranges.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bananas are the perfect hand fruit.
After the person prays, encourage them to get baptized. Sorry, my cat moved the page. You've been a little bit of a hyper boy. After the person prays, encourage them to get baptized and start attending a church where they feel comfortable.
Are you supposed to do this in like a whole conversation? Like, is this just all supposed to happen in like the span of 20 minutes?
Yeah, this is on the streetcar on your way to work. This is like, yeah.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? I got a long thing. I got a lot of things to get off my chest, and I really got to get you to believe in the Lord and get baptized and go to church and do all this stuff and save your soul. Can you please listen to me? Please, 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 please. What the fuck?
Okay, it all started with Abraham. He was in the desert.
Jesus was born, and then he died. Okay, he's real sins. But before that, we got the backstory. Long, 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 long time ago, God created the universe. I'm like, okay, buddy. Whoa.
Oh, my God. So I just realized that was just one method there's multiple methods. So that whole eight-step thing was one method, and they have
the whole
other eight-step
thing that was just the same step over and over again.
Basically, well, that was like, that's the I share your faith with speech, and then there's also share your faith with through your life by giving money to the poor and living like a Christ-like way. And which I'd prefer that one, to be honest. Like, I'd prefer somebody that's like being like, you know, I'm going to be really nice to people and hopefully they find God that way. Cause at least, you know, yeah, maybe they'll be annoying and be like, yeah, I gave you this food, but he want to hear about the Lord. And you're like, no, thanks, but thanks for the food. At least you get a sandwich. But
I mean, I don't necessarily like that either. Cause I feel that's just as coercive, right?
That's true. Yeah.
It's, I mean, I always have problems with charity where it's out to do something, where it's self-serving in that way.
Oh, 100%.
Because then I get you're still doing good, but it feels disingenuous. And then the fact that you're doing it because you're trying to make them listen to your bullshit, it's kind of being like, well, I gave you this, so you have to listen to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's just gross too, because then you're not doing charity for charity's sake. You're doing charity to pay for their time to make them listen to you.
Yep.
And that's just kind of fucked up, I think.
It is. It really is. My a family member of mine posted on Facebook around Christmas that they were waiting in line at Walmart, and somebody came up to them and gave them a $25 Walmart gift card to help them with their purchase. And they said, it's really nice to see God's love used in practical ways. Like, so they posted this whole thing about this person did this at Walmart, and then they posted, it's really nice to see God's love used in practical ways. And it's like, there's no way you're not in on this. There's no way that like that you there, this isn't a church thing. And they're like, here, help. And it has, you know, if this helped you, go to this church service or whatever. Cause like, if somebody just gives you $25 to help with your food, you would thank that person and be like, oh, that was a really nice thing that you did. You wouldn't be like, thank God. And thank you for God's love used in practical ways.
Like, but that's like, I mean, they're obviously doing it because they're trying to get attention and they're trying to get on social media. Like, that's just what happened there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what it's for. Like, if you truly were a good person and you wanted to help people, you would just do that, and you're not going to make it about something else. You're not going to make it like, oh, what a good person I am. Or like, oh, I helped you out, so let's talk about the Lord because the Lord does good things through us. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's just, it's, I don't know. It just feels icky to me.
Yeah. Like my old church, they had this one guy, a friend of mine, was like, hey, why don't we start doing things like, because they're like, yeah, we need to show the community that we're that we love them in practical ways. And he's like, well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, struggling people in our community right now. Let's reorganize like some food bank stuff and get people food, or like do like prepare meals for people. And he had a bunch of like really good ideas. And then, I mean, he would still, with the caveat of, we'll tell them about the Lord, and that's icky. But they're like, what they landed on was somebody else's idea, where they just bring light bulbs to all the neighbors with a note that says, God is the light of the world.
That's awful. Like,
people need light bulbs. It's a practical way that you can...
You don't need light bulbs that often, especially now with like the, you know, LED lights or whatever the hell they are. They last forever.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's back to like missionary work too. Like, let's go to people who are poor and disadvantaged and take advantage of them with our charity.
Yep. So let's send a bunch of eighth graders to build a school for you so that you have to rebuild it once they're gone and mess up the local economy in the long run, and
And disregard their traditions and their belief systems so we can push our own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so charitable. Good.
So nice.
We're doing great work here, witnessing and sharing the faith with the world and destroying the world in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I prefer just the bad conversations.
Yeah, I think so too. You're right. You're right. I take it back. I'd just rather have an awkward conversation.
Again, you can do good things and you can be nice and charitable and stuff. I mean, yes, I guess it is sometimes helping people. I don't like the implications.
No, you're right. Yeah, 100%. Hundo P, agree.
Sorry.
Oh, no, don't apologize. Should we thank some patrons?
Yeah, we'll thank them, but they have to listen to the Lord first.
Yep, that's true. Amen.
Oh my God! Wow! Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey everybody, welcome to our Bible study where we're studying the Bible, learning practical ways to save souls, and like sliding into them DMs.
Spoiler alert, we're going to save so many souls today and tomorrow and for the rest of eternity because that's what we do.
And we're going to keep them all in this soul bag, in these satchels, and we put our souls in these satchels. Yep. Yeah.
So get out your soul saver card, and every soul you save, you get 10 soul bucks.
And those can be used for many great prizes, like an oversized stuffed Jesus.
Yeah. We also have these special glow-in-the-dark rosaries.
Amen.
Yeah. And this really great cross-shaped coaster.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dildo.
Well, maybe next year we'll have one of those. We got to talk to R&D about that.
But first, let's get down and dirty with prayer.
Yeah.
I just want to lift up Hypatia 2.0, Emma, Ashley, Macy, and Sebastian.
And I have a special prayer request today for our friend Rhapsody in Blue. And listen, I know everybody has a favorite color. I love blue too. But sometimes, you know, you got to open up your Rhapsody to different colors. You got to have Rhapsody in green. You got to have it in red. And to limit yourself to one color, you're not only limiting yourself, you're limiting those around you. So I'd just like to pray for Rhapsody in Blue to maybe consider being Rhapsody in Rainbow and take back the rainbow for the Lord.
Yes, yes. The Lord gave us the rainbow as a reminder that I think it was that all people are equal regardless of their sexuality. Oh, no, he's not going to murder us.
Right. Again. Oh, wait, it means he's not going to murder us?
In the
us?
Same way again. Yeah, not in the same way.
Oh, again?
Yeah, the rainbow is a reminder that God won't murder us in the same fashion again.
Okay, so he'll do something different then.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Damien.
Yeah.
Should we do a Christian rock lyric?
Oh, I can't wait to rock out with my Jesus cock out, my cross-shaped dildo.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
So, Christian rock lyrics. This is by a fellow named Jordan Feliz.
Feliz Navidad?
Yeah. Jordan Feliz, and the song is called Witness.
Can I get a witness?
I was blinded. You gave me eyes to see. I was going under, you reached out to me. No, there's nothing you won't do to pick me up and pull me through. Every hour, 8 days a week. Yeah, that's from Beatles. Your love is like a fountain. Ew. I'll never run dry. It never runs dry. Gross. Your love is moving mountains. Every day of my life, every day of my life. Can I get a witness? Oh, 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 hallelujah. Oh, 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 hallelujah. We want glory, but can't measure up. We try money, but don't get enough. We fill our sky with fainted lights, trying to guide us through the night. But you're the one thing that'll carry us because your love is like a fountain. And it goes on. It goes on like that.
My thing, like, there's always the thing. It was like, I was blind, but now I see. And every time I hear that, it was like, but who made you blind?
Yeah.
The guy who's trying to make you see again, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that?
And it's actually like, that's a very common, like, Christian thing. And like, it's kind of ableist.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah. It's like you're sitting in church, like, as a blind person being like, oh, I'm the example of what it means to suck.
Yeah, but it's ableist, and it's also just like, well, the guy who's trying to help me is the one who did this thing to me in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
So why would I want to listen to that guy?
Yeah. The bullplop. But yeah, if you want to share your faith with someone, maybe instead of that, just talk about Star Wars.
Maybe if you want to share your faith with someone, just don't.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Just don't do it.
And yeah, just don't.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's probably a way to do it. There probably is, but for the most part,
just don't.
Just don't.
Yeah.
If you say, like, hey, I'm a Christian, and then they say, oh, tell me more about that, share.
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, I'm a Christian, and they're like, all right, leave it at that. We don't need any more.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
The nice thing about a cross-shaped dildo is that it won't get stuck in your butt because it's got the two little hot side prongs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Save you a trip to the emergency room.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.